Hello and welcome once again to another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This Bible teaching ministry is brought to you and sponsored and supported by the money we earn at the Wash and Word. The Wash and Word is our hand car washing business that we own and operate. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife Victoria, we've started this business so that we can support this ministry because we believe that the world has enough churches, but not enough of the Word of God. So we have combined this business with a outlet for bringing forth the truth of God's Word, and we do it in a verse-by-verse format because we are firm believers that God wants all of His Word preached about, He wants all of His Word taught, and He wants all of His people to hear all of His Word, not just bits and pieces of it. So as a verse-by-verse Bible teacher, we always pick up where we left off. We bring forth God's Word and all of its fullness and all of its truth. We give you the things you want to hear and the things that you probably don't want to hear, but that's the nature of this type of Bible teaching. And you, as a listener, can support this Bible teaching ministry by just simply going to the Wash and Word, allowing us to work hard to earn the money that it takes to support this business and this ministry. We adhere to the scripture in 2 Corinthians that says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So we humbly wash cars for the glory of God and for the sake of these verse-by-verse Bible teachings getting into your ears. And through that, we are encouraging you to come by and support us again by letting us work hard to earn our money. One last thing, you can go to the washandword.com website. There you can find out all the information about this ministry and about the business. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. All right, getting back to our scripture, we are in Gospel of John, chapter 19. We'll finish chapter 19 during this teaching message. We have just read in our last message that Jesus has died, and Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had requested the body of Jesus, and by doing so, they have now come out of the closet, so to speak. They have now basically publicly admitted their allegiance to Christ, and they did this now as opposed to any other time during Jesus's life, because after having witnessed the mockery of a trial, having witnessed the murder of an innocent man, having witnessed the Jews' only concern with the death is that the bodies would come off the cross so that they can celebrate their religious system, their religious Sabbath day, how seeing the switch get turned with these religious leaders from being bloodthirsty murderers one day to worshiping God and acting like the most religious people on earth the next, they realized one thing, that their religious system that has been corrupted over hundreds and even thousands of years leading up to the point of Jesus's coming, it had been so corrupt, it had been so misconstrued, so warped by the religious leaders, that of which they were a part of, they realized that the religious system as it was, my friends, was bankrupt. And because of that, they no longer could adhere to a bankrupt religion. And we equated that with the fact that all man-made religion is bankrupt. The religious structure that man has created is a bankrupt method of becoming one with God. It is a bankrupt method of having fellowship with the Lord Almighty. You see, religion is man's attempt to reach out to God. It's the Tower of Babel all over again. It is the original sin. When you think about the Babel, the Tower of Babel, what took place there, and there's a, I encourage you to go back and read the history of the Tower of Babel and how Nimrod was leading that charge, and how the people were trying to build a tower to God, and how self and man exaltation was the motive behind all that, and how Nimrod represented the devil, and how he was a catcher of souls. And I'm digressing because it's not part of this message, but when you think of that Tower of Babel, that's all that the man-made religious system that you see today, that's all that is. It is a fancy, dressed-up Tower of Babel, and it is an atrocity when we attempt, by our own righteousness, by our own means of building and construction, by the rules we have generated and created and corrupted over these years, by all of that, as we attempt to reach God, God looks down and says, It's an atrocity. And you know what? Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, and who knows who else recognized this and said, this is an abomination. We are going to be followers of Jesus Christ. And friends, you better believe Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea are going to greet us when we get to heaven. But Jesus said, God said, I will be the initiator, and I will reach out to mankind through Jesus. And again, when these men finally realized that they could no longer follow a system that could do what it just did the night before and call it right and just and holy, well, it was time for them to make a change. I believe that there is a moral breaking point for human beings, and when that is reached, it is a life-altering experience. It's a time in one's life when, whether it's from their own lives or witnessing something in somebody else, or even witnessing worldly corruption, witnessing the societal breakdown that we're seeing today, witnessing the morality being called wrong and immorality being called right, there's a time in one's life where a person just checks out of that lifestyle or checks out of that system. And for many, that's the time that we come to Christ. It's our moment of conversion when we just realize that this world isn't working and this system I've created to find peace and to find rest and to find, you know, morality and to find, you know, whatever it is the world is looking for in a worldly system, when they realize that it has failed them time and time again, that is when we leave the highly established systems, sometimes even the religious systems, to explore the reality of a personal Jesus. I can't tell you how many born-again believers, how many true Christians of God have come out of the religious system only to realize that they were not being taught properly, that they were not being led, that they were basically following rules and a work-based relationship system. And when they realized that it was bankrupt, like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, they came out of that worldly, corruptive religious system and explored the personal relationship of Jesus Christ. There is no doubt that in today's world, there are a lot of various injustices taking place, a lot of immorality and detestable behavior. Much of it we can, if we're honest, say we've been caught up in the past. But when does it become enough? When did it become enough for you where you finally decided, this is not what I want? Listen, we are all born with a proclivity towards evil. You know, that flies in the face of what a lot of you might believe or have heard, or what the world believes, that we are basically born good and we occasionally do things wrong. Friends, that is furthest from the truth. We are born wicked. We are born evil. We are born sinners, and we are born with a proclivity that leans towards evil. And as a result, we live with actions and behaviors that we know to be incorrect. But don't worry, we as humans have developed a great method of excusing those behaviors away. We have developed a way of explaining them and lessening them. But again, at what point do we draw a line in our own lives? At what point does that camel's back break? At what point do we say enough is enough, and we see that our way, that our life, and that our will is not working? At what point? I'll tell you when. The turning point of one's life is when one turns one's life to the cross. That's the turning point. When you finally turn your face and you set it towards the cross. And until that turning takes place, we are merely making observations about life and about the world. And we can make observations till the day we die, but until we turn our life to the cross, nothing is going to change. You see, it was the cross of Christ that emboldened these two men who for years prior kept in secret about their belief of Jesus. They witnessed and they watched and they waited. But it was not until the cross that they had the strength to come out. It wasn't until they turned and saw that Jesus hanging on the cross that they were able to come forward and come out of that religious system. Friends, the Holy Spirit draws us to the cross. The Holy Spirit draws us near the cross. And near the cross was the tomb, a new tomb that Jesus was laid in, that no one had ever been laid in before. The tomb, the symbol of death. And now I want to title what's left of this message as From the Cross to the Tomb. From the Cross to the Tomb. And we see this as we finish reading this chapter in John 19, verse 42. We read this. Because it was the Jewish... let's read 41. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus in there. Now, I want to repeat the fact that tomb was near the cross. God wants us to know that from the cross to the tomb is just a short distance away. Make that connection today. Near the cross was a tomb. And God wants you to know that it is a short distance from the cross to the tomb. Have you ever gotten a tick? I know my dog has them. I've had one when I was younger in my head. Once a tick gets embedded into the skin, it can't simply be pulled out. There is there's certain medicine that has to be put on, or fire sometimes work. But if you simply grab a tweezers and pull on the tick, what happens? It breaks off and the head actually stays inside. And friends, this is how the sinful Adamic nature is still with us. That is how the sinful nature that we are born with, it remains in us. And you can pull the body off. That is, you can excuse the sins. And you can do it all day long or all lifelong, as it were. But the head will remain. And the nature of sin in our lives from the day we are born is the head of the tick. And by pulling off the tick and leaving the head in, all we are doing is covering over the real issue. And that head can become a deathly sickness left alone. But one gaze upon the cross, and metaphorically, the head comes out. But here's the catch. When it comes to a tick, we can get the head, we can get the whole body and head out. But if you don't kill a tick, do you know what it will do? It'll reattach itself. And so the tomb, being so close to the cross, that is the death of Jesus, where our flesh dies, well, that's what the tomb represents. It represents the death of the flesh. Listen, make this connection as our time winds down on this teaching. The cross exposes the truth about the flesh, and the tomb receives the flesh, and then the resurrection destroys the flesh. Did you catch that? There's the cross, there's the tomb, and there's the resurrection. And the cross exposes the truth of our flesh. The tomb receives the flesh, but the resurrection destroys the flesh. They are all connected, and you can't have one without the other. And if you do, it's just like removing a tick and leaving it on the body. It's going to find its way back in. We have to destroy the flesh completely, and that is through remaining in Christ as he destroys the flesh through his resurrection. The cross without the tomb and the resurrection is just a death. Do you understand? Our salvation is not in the cross. It is in the tomb. Our salvation lies in the resurrection. The cross is merely a transition. It is what draws us. It's what drew Nicodemus and what drew Joseph of Arimathea. It drew them to the realization of their moral failure, of their religious bankruptcy, and it drew them to the idea that, hey, I've got to do this a different way. And the cross draws, but the cross is just a death without the tomb, which is nearby. It's right next to your salvation experience. So we die with Christ in the tomb, and then we are resurrected with him, and we no longer live by the flesh, Paul says, but we live by the Spirit. We're going to pick this sermon this teaching back up again when we come back in our next teaching. Until then, you can go to washandword.com. That's washed, a letter N, word.com for all information. Have a blessed day.